the Locked On Warriors, your podcast on all things Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com to get all the parts you need for your car or truck. Always at reliable low prices. It's been interesting to monitor, notice increasingly how many of these sports radio shows, sports podcasts, sports content is increasingly political. And it has to be. And this is something that's been started for a while now, this stick to sports movement, or rather backlash against, you know, the politicizing of sports, political commentary included in sports commentary. But we can't escape it anymore. And even here on this show, a show that is dedicated to, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of just Warriors talk. And usually the idea here is, hey, well, I'll give you the news of what's happening. I'll give you injury updates. I'll recap games. I'll analyze things. I'll tell you where the Warriors are going. I'm a Warriors beat writer. I have insight on these things. And those are the things that I hope to provide for you. But when the season is canceled in the middle of March, and the Warriors are not going to play anymore, and we're dealing with this pandemic, and then we're dealing with this pandemic, and then we're dealing with the fallout from George Floyd, and increasingly we're living in a politicized world, and we just can't escape it anymore. And even on this show, I talk about politics, and it's all through the lens of sports or the Warriors or my own point of view. But it's hard not to talk about it, especially when it just sort of seeps into your coverage. And this is what brings me to Steven Jackson's recent comments. We all know Steven Jackson, former Warrior, huge part of the We Believe team, beloved figure among Warriors fans, and has sort of gotten back into headlines because of all the great work he's done in the wake of George Floyd. George Floyd, who is his friend, who he has called his twin, after Floyd was killed by police brutality. Steven Jackson has been a huge public figure and voice for the Black Lives Matter movement. And you can't really detract from anything he's done. Everything he has done has been great up until last week when he shared anti-Semitic posts from his friend and NFL wide receiver DeSean Jackson, falsely claiming anti-Semitic statements, things like about Jews running the banking system, about Jews trying to keep black people down, just extremely anti-Semitic stuff that dates back to Hitler, even before Hitler, all these things that's sensitive material. And I think it all stems from the same thing that Steven Jackson is speaking out against is in regards to black people. And look, not only does this hit home for me because it's in my coverage zone, Steven Jackson, former Warrior player, if he does something, we're going to talk about it. But also, if you can't tell from my last name, Wes Goldberg, this is something that matters. And it's something that I've been exposed to. I'm not saying that I've necessarily feel anti-Semitism on a daily basis. I don't, okay? I'm fortunate enough, the people that I surround myself with and other things that I'll get to, but I have been exposed to it in the past, and these are the tropes that I'm sensitive to and aware of, and so to hear Steven Jackson say these things is deeply disappointing, but not only from a personal level, but it's deeply disappointing because it sort of defangs his own great work that he's done in the Black Lives Matter movement. Because when you do this, when you ignorantly spread racist, anti-Semitic messaging, you are doing the thing that you are standing up against. And it all stems from a lack of listening, from understanding. It stems from ignorance. And Steven Jackson was nothing but ignorant on this topic. So DeSean Jackson posts something, his friend, and he posts, and Steven Jackson basically co-signs it by saying that this is happening and that we need to listen, that the Jews are trying to keep black people down. And then, you know, he goes and and doubles down by saying that he wishes that there was the same sort of energy behind the Black Lives Matter movement as there was against anti-Semitism or something of that nature. It was really unclear with what he was trying to say. And in several interviews after that, he started to walk back those claims, and good, I'm glad. He came out and said almost, you know, within a couple of days that he didn't mean to be anti-Semitic. He was more trying to, he's not trying to be hateful against Jews, but trying to be more encouraging of the Black Lives Matter movement. I think he went about that the wrong way. He's apologized for that, sort of. But then in these Instagram videos claiming that the Rothschilds, you know, own banking, which is just this old, you know, anti-Semitic trope that has just been debunked over and over and over again. It's really hurtful, but more so it's disappointing because when Steven Jackson is out there in front of people saying that white people aren't listening to the Black Lives Matter movement, that that black people need a voice, that black people need to be heard, he's right about all of those things. But then when he does the exact thing that he is speaking out against in spreading hurtful, hateful material without listening, without understanding it, it defangs his own argument. And I hope that Steven Jackson is learning from this. I hope everybody can learn from this, because this is, it's just so easy now with social media to just sort of retweet, co-sign something, right? I mean, we see Donald Trump do this all the time. And people say, well, I didn't say it. But, well, you retweeted it, okay? You commented on it. You liked it. You did whatever. So that means you have something to do with it now. You have involved yourself in it. Okay? And so when you do that, you've got to be prepared for the backlash that can happen. And so when Steven Jackson retweets that or likes something or comments on it, he's just basically co-signing it. And it's so easy to do that in today's social media age, where it's just a button. All you got to do is click a button to do that. And that's what worries me, is that it's the same thing that has worried me about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's just, is it just on social media? I know the protests are out there. I know the things are out there. But can we get past the social media steps? Can we get past the blackout post on your Instagram feed? Can we get past that and do something meaningful? But more than just do something meaningful, there's all of this desire, this motivation to act, to act, to act, to do something. But we need to also listen. We need to also think before we post, think before we speak. If you see something that could be hateful, or that it's from another point of view, or maybe something that you don't even recognize, maybe you listening to this have never heard of the Rothschild, maybe nobody's ever heard of this anti-Semitic stuff, it's very possible. But if that's the case, you need to educate yourself on it, and that is what we're doing. That is, if anything, what we have learned from this is not necessarily acting, but listening is more important than ever. Educating yourself is more important than anything. And when I say educate yourself, I don't mean educating others. Educate yourself. Do the work. Don't get preached to. Do the work. Don't let a Facebook post or something you read on Instagram dictate your thoughts. Do the work. Now, I'm not saying you need to sit down and go through every single race and religion and wonder why something is this, anti this or anti that. I'm not saying you need to go and spend your days doing that. I don't think that's a good use of your time. I just think that if you see something, think about it before you react to it. Think about it before you act. Listen, educate before you act. Because if we just take that step, and if Steven Jackson would have just taken that step, he could have stopped the spread of this hateful material. It would have stopped with Deshaun Jackson, because he later had to delete that stuff. It would have stopped right there. It would have been contained to Steven Jackson only, or Deshaun Jackson only, and Steven Jackson would have not have gotten involved. Instead, Steven Jackson did. And the anti-Semitic stuff hurts. But even from this Goldberg sitting here talking to you right now, it hurts, but it doesn't hurt as much as it hurts his own credibility. And it hurts me to think that, because he's been doing great work. And you hate to see his credibility hurt, and you hate to see him take, you know, steps backwards when he's trying to take so many steps forward. And why, when we as a nation focused on this Black Lives Matter movement, and rightly so, are trying to take a step forward, and he has become a huge voice in that. And you hate to see him do something like this that defangs his own arguments, that hurts his credibility. And I hope that he takes the steps necessary to say, you know what? I am doing exactly what I stand against. I apologize for that. And if he can listen as much as he's spoken out against things, I think we'll all learn a valuable lesson from that. Coming up next, my thoughts on the Redskins changing their name to the Warriors. This is Locked On Warriors. This is also the Rock Auto ad read. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all of your parts you need for your car, especially now while you may not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup you find at chain stores. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We'll open up some mail later on, but among many team names rumored to be on the table for the Washington NFL team to change their name to, Warriors is one of them. Others include things like the Red Tails, the Red Wolves, Americans, Monuments, the Veterans. I think Warriors is an interesting one. Obviously, we bring this up because of all the things that are happening with the Washington Redskins, but even more so because, you know, this is the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, right? And there's some backlash against the Redskins changing their name to the Warriors. So if you haven't followed this whole story, the Redskins are obviously changing their name because it's racist. And they want to obviously change the name to something that is probably... There's been talk that they could do something that is an ode to the military, that's even an ode still to Native Americans, Native American culture, though they've tried to backtrack on that according to several reports that they don't want to include Native American culture whatsoever. But there's some backlash against the Warriors name because that maybe invokes some Native American culture. And I get that. You know, Warriors, though, is a pretty broad term. I think it has been used by some sports teams to invoke the Native American, you know, identifier or whatever. But it's not the Redskins, you know, it's not anything like that. And I think if you look at a team like the Golden State Warriors, they have done so much in the branding that they've walked away from any sort of Native American reference. That I think it works. I think it works for Golden State. I don't see a need for Golden State to change their name, though that's not really on the table. I do, you know, years ago they changed their color schemes. They don't have a mascot anymore. They are the Golden State Warriors, and you don't think of anything Native American when it comes to them. You don't think racist when you think of the Golden State Warriors. Of course not. I think it could work for Washington. I don't love the name for Washington in general, the Washington Warriors. I get the alliteration part of it. It is a little bit of a cop-out, and it is a little bit more sensitive for them because they're coming right off of such a blatantly racist name and racist imagery that to kind of go to Warriors might not be walking away enough, though I understand the military tie-in too, because a soldier, a warrior, things like that, they're called Warriors all the time, and so that might be a good way to sort of toe that line if indeed you were trying to toe that line. I don't think that they ought to. I think that they should be walking away from that line completely. If you want to involve military, go ahead. That's great. Like, do that. But I would stay away from anything Native American related whatsoever. And again, Washington Warriors just isn't that great of a name, I don't think. It's a little bland. But it seems like all this stuff is going to be bland. I mean, we're talking about other names on the table is just the straight-up Americans, which, I mean, if you thought the Houston Texans was a bland name. But if the Washington Americans is just almost as generic as it gets. The Washington Monuments, which is kind of, I don't know, weird to name yourself after a stagnant building. It doesn't necessarily invoke fear. The Washington Veterans, I mean, I guess, but also, you know, it's honorable. It's a nice kind of tip of the hat to those who served in the military. But are you scared of veterans? I think you're more scared of the people who are active duty, right? So you want to, if you're Washington, name your team after something that is politically correct, obviously. And I guess championing some of the military and other things. But you got to name your team something cool too, right? Which is, I guess, why Warriors comes in. There's other things on the table like Red Tails, Red Wolves, whatever. That's still so close to Redskins that it's just like, just name it something better. Just get a cool name. It doesn't sound like the Warriors are worried about this whatsoever. There are some copyright and trademark things and stuff like that. But the Warriors is such a general term. I don't think that they're going to... that Washington, if they did go with Warriors, would infringe anything with what Golden State's got going on. But in general, you know, Warriors works for Golden State. They've been the San Francisco Warriors. They've been the Golden State Warriors. This is just what they've been. So it works for them. I don't think there's any problem with that name. It would be disappointing, though, to see Washington go with Warriors, which they'll probably do. I think either way, Washington's going to name their team after something lousy. It's going to be a bad name, whatever it is. It's going to be a focus group name that is extremely bland and generic and boring, which is perfect for what the NFL wants to do, and that's what they're going to do. But I would prefer that they don't go to Warriors because I kind of like that Golden State are the only Warriors, and that it makes it very simple for everybody, and that when I have to search for Warriors stuff or when you have to look for Warriors stuff, it would be great. It would suck if I was Locked On Warriors and then the Locked On Washington Redskins show had to also become Locked On Warriors, and that would be very confusing for everybody that was involved. So let's just not go with Warriors Washington. Just find your own name. We open up some mail next. This is Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We're opening up some mail. The mail today all has to do with last week's episode about Justice Winslow and why the Warriors might want to use their traded player exception on him. Bobby writes in, love the idea, but I think you're undervaluing Justice Winslow and how much he could help the Warriors win a title the next few seasons. I would absolutely trade this year's pick for Winslow if I was Golden State. What's the rest of this? And I would absolutely not accept next year's Warriors pick if I was Memphis. Bobby, thanks for writing in. Maybe I am. I'm a Justice Winslow fan. I've always liked his game. I always thought he was being misused in Miami. It'll be interesting to see how Memphis uses him in the playoffs. I think Golden State would be a perfect fit for him. He is a guy who I think would have his career best seasons in Golden State. He would absolutely outpace what he's done so far in his career. But I don't think that you could still use a top five pick on Justice Winslow. I think people are really undervaluing this top five pick. I understand the need, the want from Warriors fans to get back to title contention right away, but I think a top five pick this year could do that for you. There are role players in the top five. When people say this is a bad draft, they don't mean there are not good players in this. They just mean that there might not be the superstar level, the Zion, the Luka guy, this franchise altering transcendent player, but there are good role players in this draft who are going to be young and under a really valuable contract that you can't overstate. So I also don't think that you would need to trade a top five pick for Justice Winslow. I think you can get him for less. I mean, Memphis traded 36-year-old Andre Iguodala, who wasn't even playing for them, okay, to get Justice Winslow. So it wouldn't take that. I think you could absolutely trade next year's first round pick for Winslow. I think that could be on the table. Maybe you have to add some other second-round picks, a sweetener or something like that. I don't think that's out of the question. It just depends on whether or not, like I said last week, if the Grizzlies don't see Justice Winslow as a long-term fit. That's the key. If they see him as a long-term fit, they're not going to trade him. All right? Now, they're not going to go out of their way to trade him for some traded player exception, okay, for room like that. So Gary writes in, great work, Wes. I would love Winslow. However, I can't see Memphis trading him away for a pick that will likely land in the 20s a year from now, given what they traded away to get him. Also, who would they sign with that much cap space? Unfortunately, I don't see Memphis doing this. Look, That's the question. Would Memphis do it or not? I think they could trade him for a pick that lands in the 20s. I don't think that that's out of the question. This is a team that is rebuilding, that is trying to add to their stockpile of draft picks. Maybe instead of the 20s, maybe the Warriors don't finish that great. That's why it would be lottery protected. This is what I proposed would be lottery protected in my article for the Mercury News. I thought more about it. I think it needs to be lottery protected, not top 20 protected. And then as far as that second part, who would they sign with this much cap space? That's not what it's about. Memphis wouldn't sign anybody with the cap space. They would use that cap space to alleviate another team of a salary that they don't want, much like they did for the Warriors' Andre Iguodala a year ago, and then further accumulate draft picks. They could, by trading Winslow, add maybe at least two first-round picks, if not more, and if not a bunch of second-round picks and other type of sweeteners. I think you just by trading Winslow, they could go on a path, you know, sort of a domino effect where they just keep adding to their stockpile of picks, which they're going to need. Jeremy writes in, I'm just not feeling the Winslow hype. Low career shooting percentages across the board. Hasn't played more than 70 games since his rookie year. Poor assist-to-turnover ratio. Started less than half of his career games. Players picked after him in 2015. Devin Booker, Kelly Oubre, Miles Turner, Montrezl Harrell, Josh Richardson, Norman Powell. This is the thing. Some people love the Justice Winslow fit. Some people don't love the Justice Winslow fit. I think they're limited to his lack of scoring production versus what all the little things that he can do. I still think that Justice Winslow would be a great fit. He does all those little things. He does all those in-between things. I think he would be a perfect fit as a screen-and-roll guy, as a multi-positional defender, as a rebounder. I think he's athletic. He's young. You've got him under contract for this year at $13 million. He's a team option the following year at $13 million. I think it would be a no-brainer, again, if you can use the trade-a-player exception and part with maybe your own 2021 pick, but I wouldn't give up the Memphis pick. The Minnesota pick, and I wouldn't give up your own top five pick this year. So it has to be for the right price, but I think you would be a perfect pick for the Warriors. Okay, that's it for Locked On Warriors. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll be back tomorrow.